Thank you. And I guess out in the area, we never know what to expect on soil water and so forth. This year in October, our average October snowfall is less than an inch, 9/10 of an inch. This year we have 32 inches of snow during October out in their area. Our previous record for October was 10.5, so you can see we kind of overdid the record and it should last for a few years. But we never know what's going to happen. This was our first year that we tried some skip row, and you might ask me why I got interested. This is actually 2003. 2002 was drier in our area than any year, even in the 30s out there. And the sorghum breeder in Lincoln asked me, gave me a call, and he says, Bob, he says, I got a bunch of new sorghum hybrids I'd like to have planted out in your area. Would you plant them? I says, yeah, send them out. We'll put them in our Eco-Fallow corn and sorghum plot over in Hays County. We got a good cooperator over there. He'll let us use all the room we want to and so forth, so no problem there. We'll be glad to put them in. Well, there wasn't any dry land production in Hays County that year, except a little bit in my corn and sorghum plot where we planted different hybrids. Not in our regular corn. It didn't make anything. It was so dry. Not in my Eco-Fallow sorghum, but over in that hybrid study that sent me out, there was some. And he says, hey, you really found something. No, what happened was some of those varieties were so unadapted or hybrids, they didn't even come up. But I did notice that where I had missing rows beside, that I would have some sorghum out there. And I got to thinking, you know, with Roundup Ready corn now, we could make this skip row system work. So we talked about it over the winter and so forth, and then we really got busy. We probably took on more work than we should, which is my technician says I have a real bad habit of doing, you know, not managing the program well. And so we kind of forgot it. Plus, 2003, it was wet that spring. So my technician finally came in on July the 3rd, and he says, are we going to do something on that skip row? He says, we're finally caught up on our work. And I says, yeah, let's go ahead and do something so we have information for a wet year. I should have never said that because it never rained after that. So we went in, and what we did here, we found a place that had about 20,000 plants out there, which is kind of high for us, but we found a good location for it. Then we went in and basically took out every third plant and ended up with about 14,700, and the yield was the same. Then basically we took out every other plant, and my technicians and summer help tells me, says, don't use we because we didn't see you out there doing this and so forth, and our help did a good job. But if there was some plants missing, they didn't take anything. We did increase yield about 10%. They liked this part better where they left two rows and took out a row and decreased the plant population to about 13.7, and we increased about 17%. And then here's where we left two rows and removed two rows and got down to about half the plant population. We increased the yield about a third up to 54 bushel from 41. Somebody says, why'd you quit there? You should have took three out of four rows out, you know, and so forth. But we didn't think we'd want to. One thing we want to specify in this session is it doesn't work if you don't have crop residue. Now, this is 2005 over in Perkins County near Grant. And I don't care if you had skip row corn over there, sunflowers, nothing. But right in that same area was this farmer with his skip row corn. Now, how could he do it when nobody else could do it? Well, you go over and take a look at the field, and what do you notice here? A little different, a little residue down there, isn't there? Yeah. In fact, the year before, or 2 years before, he had a good wheat crop, had pretty good corn crop the year before, decided to come back and plant skip row corn, follow our recommendations. And he had 60 bushel corn, basically, which is pretty good out in our dry western Nebraska area when nobody else could produce anything. The reason why is what's down here, isn't it? Yeah. So to make this system really work, you know, you got to have good crop residue. This is one of the plots and so forth. This is a hybrid study we got in southwest Nebraska. This is what the ground looks like. We'll tell you a little bit more about it. This is the ears and so forth. And we've been dry out in western Nebraska. Now, we picked up pretty good the last couple years. In the 90s, we were really in good shape on soil water. But when 2000 hit, we hit several drought years and so forth. And this is kind of tough. I don't know a whole lot about this. But if you're trying to unload a boat here, it looks to me like it's a little hard to get it in some of our lakes, you know. How much water does it take? You notice on wheat here, I got two different ones. One starting about 4 and one starting about 10 before you get the first bushel. Why the difference? Okay, we'll talk a little bit about that later here. But this is one of our variety studies in wheat or cultivars. And this is about the way I like to have it. These are the seeded late September. This is what we like to have it look like about to late October. And we don't have to plant so early there if we have some pretty good crop residue to help us prevent the wind erosion that we can have out in our area. This was right across the road from our plot. This was planted in early September and what it looked like on that same date. So it's used a lot of water, hasn't it? Okay, and water's the name of the game. This is that first plot, the plot that we planted late September. They harvested it with a stripper header. This has the residue that we really like to have. And you can see we have almost a yardstick of residue out there. This was our results on that plot. About 75 bushel average with quite a few close to 90 bushel. Okay, we planted corn in there the next year, a hybrid study. And we planted a plant to skip to. And it just shows you the residue down here. And one of the things we're doing here is we try not to even destroy any residue when we're planting. We want to keep all that residue. That's the name of the game. We got to keep that E and ET down. Really, really critical to make the system work. And this is what the field looks like in September of 2008. And this was our ears out there, which are not too shabby for dry land yield. And let's look at our yields here. We averaged close to 135 bushel, and we had quite a few, couple of them here that were close to, that was on 25 of them, we didn't show them all here, close to about 150 bushel, which is not too bad in southwest Nebraska for dryland corn. One thing, caution, we want to make sure you bring out, though, is can be a problem with crop insurance. You can't get crop insurance on this. Let's go back to that guy across the road that seeded early. Okay, this was his. This was his corn crop the next year. And where's that dust cloud coming from? Well, they were ended up cutting that for silage. Yeah, because the corn crop was not worth harvesting. To me, that's the worst thing they could have did. Why? Look at what they got afterwards. What's going to happen to that field then? It's going to blow away, right? Yeah, you hope you don't live too close to it and so forth. We got to have those crop residues to protect our soil. We want to trap that snow, because we can get some of that. I don't ever like to see a farmer take all the residue off. This was 2002 to show how dry it was in the North Platte area. You know, we had corn come up and just died. So it really gives you, and you got to have moisture, you know, from the silking to the blister stage, really the critical time. And this shows you the evaporation, the E and ET. And with good wheat stubble, we can cut that down to about, 15%. If we irrigate twice a week on bare soil, we'll have that E and ET being over a third, 35%. So we can, and that's one thing we got to really work on to make the skip row system work. And so residue management is really the key. Here's a farmer that did it. He didn't do it exactly like he wants to because of the fact he knocks down a lot of residue out here with the openers he doesn't use. And so the other thing is we tell our farmers, let's put on the narrow gauge wheels. We don't need the wide ones on no-till because we're trying to conserve residue. And this is what the corn looked like. It wasn't too bad. This is our work at Trenton. Shows you the average of the skip row system. This is 10, 15, and 20,000 plant population. And this is the average of those. And you can see we averaged 53. If you go to the plant to skip to system, we averaged 84, but the big difference was here at the high plant population at 20,000, we got 84 bushels compared to 44. one thing we really like at the Skipper Hole system, if you overplant, you don't seem to be hurt so bad. Yeah. And most of us like to overplant, most of our producers. Why? They're always hoping for that good year, right? Yeah, it's just human nature to do that. Okay, let's look a little bit more on the system. This is our 2008. We didn't have, again, as much residue on this farmer as we like to, but it's real interesting. This is our skip row plots, and this is the farmer's field. Ours was green. His was all dried up, so, you know, pretty good difference. We've done a lot of soil water measurements, and it does show you basically here, as you go and start out, you know, early in the season and so forth, and then it all flattens out as it uses all the water. So there is, like in a plant two, skip two situation over here, in a plant two situation, you do save water for later on, and that seems to be a real, real advantage. This is some work that Mark Menarnes did at South Central Ag Lab in a higher rainfall area and so forth. And so he used higher plant populations than we do out in our area. This is solid way of planting with those populations, 15, 22, 5, and 30. And you can see the yields, 138, 163, 165. The plant two skip one, which is what we recommend when you get in the higher rainfall areas, 149. 183, 190, and so forth, with an average of about, 19 bushel better. And I like to use the averages because we don't. I think there's even advantage in our higher rainfall areas of skip row system because, we're building in a little bit of drought tolerance and so forth. And that's what we're trying to do with the skip row system. Now, out in our area, with yields, I would say, under maybe 100, 120, then we ought to use the plant to skip two, but in those areas here, we ought to use the plant to skip one. And we've had farmers comment on the system, you know, of what they can do with it. And this is one out in our area that says, you know, greatly increase the consistency of our yields and so forth. And here's another comment and another comment that we see from these people. And of course, something we want to point out here, he was a farmer that planted continuous corn on part of the field with no residue. They harvested this part for silage. The other part they harvested for grain and came back with continuous corn. They had a good corn crop here, nothing where they harvested for silage. We tell our people, don't harvest things for silage out in our dry land. We just need to keep all that residue out there. It's critical. This is an interesting one here. A farmer and his brother-in-law flew over this field, and they couldn't figure out why half the cornfield was green on the other half. So they landed and went over. Where it was greener, it looked like this on the ground. And where it wasn't as green, it looked like this. And then, they remembered that on this part, they spread the straw behind the combine. On this one, they took the straw spreader off and baled the straw. And we went out and measured, and it cost him 20 bushel. He said he didn't come near close to getting the value of 20 bushel of corn in straw off that field. So the thing is, if you need straw, you buy it from him back there, you know. Now that'll work. After about 3 years, he'll figure that out, what you're doing, then you'll have to go to somebody else and buy it. But we tell our producers, and I'm probably not very popular with the people that sell this or buy distiller's grain for the feedlot to blend straw with it. Why? I tell them you can't afford to sell that straw to them. They won't pay you enough. On irrigated land, we can take off some, but not our dry land. I think with that, we're out of time. Do I have time for a question or not?
We have time for one question.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't like to recommend anything over a medium maturing one in our area. It gets you in trouble. And plus, this ground's a lot cooler, so it shortens the growing season and so forth. So we kind of adjust our plant populations to go with, you know, the yields that we need for those little bit shorter hybrids and so forth. But we don't recommend a full season. Mid-season would be a good question. I think with that, we're out of time. Okay.
Thank you.